In the latest episode of our collective nightmare, we find ourselves yet again in the absurd theater of international climate diplomacy at COP30. Picture this. 190 countries gather in Brazil, supposedly to tackle the climate crisis. 2 weeks of negotiations that could have been a beacon of hope instead devolve into a tragicomedy where fossil fuels remain the unmentionable elephant in the room. Despite rampant wildfires and melting ice caps screaming for immediate action, we've managed to concoct an agreement that tiptoes around reality like a cat avoiding puddles. The deal struck lacks any mention of moving away from oil, coal, or gas, the very lifeblood of global warming. It's as if we're trying to put out a fire by politely asking it to stop burning. While some nations pushed for a roadmap away from fossil fuels, they were met with fierce resistance from petrostates who apparently prefer their profits over planetary survival. Instead, we're left with vague promises about deforestation and a side note on transitioning workers, a gesture as empty as our collective resolve. But wait, there is progress, or so they tell us. Wealthier nations have agreed to triple funding for climate adaptation by 2035. That's right, folks, we'll throw money at the problem while continuing business as usual. A potential $120 billion annually sounds impressive until you remember it's part of last year's $300 billion promise. Another round of monopoly money for real-world disasters. And let's not forget the Just Transition Plan, an idea so noble it should be enshrined in fairy tales but remains unfunded and unsupported in reality. Workers are promised greener pastures without so much as a breadcrumb trail leading them there. Meanwhile, national climate plans stagger towards mediocrity with projected pollution cuts hovering around 12%. A far cry from the necessary 60% reduction required to keep global warming below catastrophic levels. It's like aiming for an Olympic gold medal and settling for participation ribbons instead. The US's absence loomed large over this summit, a testament to its ongoing commitment to doing absolutely nothing when something is desperately needed, yet somehow reaching any agreement at all is hailed as proof that multilateralism isn't entirely dead, just mostly comatose. Some call this meaningful progress. Others see it as another step towards oblivion wrapped up nicely with diplomatic bows and ribbons made from recycled disappointment. Science was sidelined because it dared challenge polluters' comfort zones. Forests were forgotten because trees can't lobby or sue. So here we are, applauding incremental changes while Rome burns. Not literally yet, but give us time, and pretending everything will be fine if we just talk long enough without actually doing anything substantial about it all. Welcome back, America, or not, who can tell anymore?
A Chris Paul, the man, the myth, the legend, on the brink of retirement after a mere 21-year stint in the NBA. And what better way to hint at hanging up those sneakers than by posting a nostalgic video on social media? Because nothing says, I'm done, like a highlight reel that doubles as an Oscar contender for Best Documentary Short. Now let's talk about these stats. Chris Paul has become the first NBA player with at least 20,000 points, 12,000 assists, and 6,000 rebounds. That's right, he's broken records we didn't even know existed until he made them up. Meanwhile, most of us are just trying to break our personal bests on Duolingo. And then there's James Harden chiming in with his 2 cents. At some point, you know it's going to end. Thanks for the existential crisis there, James. Nothing like being reminded of life's impermanence while you're still trying to figure out how to use your air fryer. But let's not forget Tyronn Lue's heartfelt sentiment, I don't want to talk about no one retiring, which is basically code for please don't make me think about my own mortality while I'm still working on perfecting my fantasy football lineup. Chris Paul has played for 7 different teams over his career, a real-life game of NBA musical chairs. But hey, if you can't find stability in your job after 2 decades and multiple relocations, welcome to adulthood, so here we have it. Chris Paul might be calling it quits soon enough. But rest assured he'll do so quietly and without fuss, except for maybe another viral video or two. After all, why fade into obscurity when you can trend on Twitter?
Ah, the Venezuelan political saga. A delightful cocktail of intrigue, power plays, and international meddling that keeps us entertained as we watch the world inch ever closer to chaos. With a $50 million bounty on Nicolas Maduro's head and the CIA having their tropical vacation in Caracas, it seems we're all just waiting for the next chapter in this gripping drama. Will it be an explosive climax or a quiet exit stage left? Some optimists are betting on a classic US-led regime change, complete with military fanfare and historical parallels to other notable overthrows. Others suggest a more civilized approach. Perhaps Maduro might simply pack his bags and leave voluntarily. A quaint notion indeed, considering history, has taught us that dictators rarely take kindly to eviction notices. Colombia's foreign minister made headlines suggesting a peaceful transition could spare everyone some trouble. How refreshing! Yet the Colombian government quickly backpedaled, clarifying they have no interest in poking their noses into Venezuela's affairs. After all, why spoil the fun when you can watch from afar as your neighbor's house burns down? Maduro clings to power, despite what one might call a challenging year. His 2024 electoral triumph was celebrated by virtually no one outside his inner circle. Meanwhile, opposition leader Maria Corina Machado nabbed herself a Nobel Peace Prize while hiding out, because nothing says peace like living in fear for your life. The United States has labeled Maduro's alleged criminal enterprise as terrorism, which conveniently opens up new avenues for intervention should diplomacy prove too dull. And let's not forget those pesky experts who agree that Maduro isn't likely to step down willingly. After all, prison cells aren't known for their luxurious accommodations. Venezuelan Vice President Delcy Rodriguez assures us that her country will not surrender. It's merely experiencing times of historic insurgency, the kind where leaders hold onto power with both hands while their citizens grapple with economic collapse. But fear not. There's talk of an off-ramp for Maduro. Exile in Russia or Cuba, perhaps? A tempting offer if only he weren't so attached to being part of Venezuela's economic elite, a position much cushier than playing chess with Putin or sipping mojitos under Castro's ghostly gaze. As we ponder these possibilities, let's remember Professor David Smild's wise words about pyramids. Remove one block, or dictator, and those below still hold strong. Just ask Hugo Chavez. Oh wait, we can't because he's gone, but left behind quite the legacy for his successor to mismanage. So before popping any champagne corks at news of potential change in Venezuela's leadership landscape, let us recall how fleeting such victories can be when systemic rot runs deep. Cheers, or perhaps more aptly, bottoms up as we continue our descent into dystopia.
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder the big questions of life while sipping our metaphorical tea of absurdity. Today's topic is inspired by an article from The New Yorker titled Tatiana Schlossberg. You know, because nothing says existential dread quite like a family lineage steeped in historical tragedies and the looming presence of terminal illness. Imagine this. You're Tatiana Schlossberg, granddaughter of JFK. Yes, that JFK. And just when you're getting used to the idea of being a new mom again, life throws you a curveball with a side order of irony. Diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia right after giving birth, a condition so rare it makes winning the lottery look statistically probable by comparison. And here we thought childbirth was enough of a trial. But isn't that just life? One moment you're swimming laps at 9 months pregnant. Because why? Not yet. And the next, you're grappling with your mortality while trying to keep up with two small children and a family history that reads like an epic tragedy. It's almost as if fate has a twisted sense of humor and decided to use your life as its latest punchline. And speaking of family, imagine having siblings who are filmmakers and congressional hopefuls. They help raise your kids while maintaining stoic faces during your ordeal, only slightly more supportive than their usual roles as unpaid therapists and occasional chauffeurs. Ah, sibling love, the gift that keeps on taking. Then there's the matter of modern medicine, a beacon of hope unless it's tangled in political red tape. When federal funding for Columbia University is threatened because politics can never resist making things interesting, it really puts into perspective how fragile our healthcare system can be. It's almost poetic how personal health crises become intertwined with national policy debates, as if one wasn't already stressful enough. In her essay, Schlossberg reflects on adding another chapter to her family's saga of misfortune, a tragic twist she didn't audition for, but somehow landed anyway. Yet through all this chaos and calamity, she remains focused on being good, a concept so subjective it's practically meaningless outside self-help books and motivational posters. So here we are, contemplating what it means to live under the shadow of inevitability while clinging desperately to notions like legacy and goodness. Because if there's one thing existential crises teach us, it's that life's absurdities don't discriminate. They come for us all eventually. Join us next time on the Existential Crisis Hour as we continue our exploration into life's grand design, or lack thereof, with more tales from the edge, or perhaps just around the corner from sanity.
The capitalist's fever dream, a 500 million pound transaction, a mere blip on the radar of Britain's media landscape, yet another testament to the relentless pursuit of profit at any cost. In this dark dance of acquisition, DMGT, a titan in the media world, tightens its grip around the Telegraph, weaving an even thicker web of right-leaning influence over the nation's consciousness. Here lies the absurdity. A U.S.-based private investment firm with foreign state backing attempts to sink its claws into one of Britain's largest newspapers. The government intervenes, not out of concern for journalistic integrity, but to prevent foreign power from meddling in domestic propaganda machines. Redbird Capital Partners retreats, not due to ethical epiphany, but because bureaucratic red tape threatens their timeline and bottom line in this fevered dreamscape where money talks louder than truth. And headlines are crafted by those who hold the purse strings. DMGT emerges victorious. Their trophy? An editorially independent Telegraph. Independent only in name as it joins a stable that includes the Mail on Sunday and Metro, all under one sprawling corporate umbrella. The transaction's rapid progression through regulatory submissions is heralded as compliance with the UK's foreign state influence regime, a hollow victory when true independence is already compromised by conglomerate ownership. The parties involved pat themselves on the back for reaching swift agreement while ignoring the deeper rot, a media ecosystem driven not by information or enlightenment, but by consolidation and control. No comment from the Telegraph itself. Silence speaks volumes as profit-driven machinations unfold above its head. This is no isolated incident, but rather a symptom of capitalism's insatiable appetite, a system willing to consume itself if it means another dollar gained or a competitor vanquished. A society held hostage by capitalists, Fever Dreams finds itself spiraling further into madness with each acquisition, each merger, a testament to how far we will go in pursuit of profit until nothing remains but echoes of what was once considered free press.